You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
God's prophets have always talked to people, but people would not believe. It always amazed the prophets to see that people would not believe them.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Take us out of the bitterness of life into the joy of life, which comes from knowing you and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Give us faith to know you, not just knowledge to know about you. Take over our lives, we pray, in your loving kindness, your forgiveness, and your power to give eternal life in Jesus Christ. Amen. The 20th century has been called, with some justification, the age of the explosion of knowledge. No age before has seen the flight of powered aircraft, of electric light that seems almost universal, of motor cars all over the place, of antibiotics that have made mastoid operations almost a thing of the past, of exploration of space and fission of the atom, to mention just a few. This century has been an age of science and of the things that science has produced. Someone has estimated that 90% of the things we know from science were discovered in the 20th century. With all of this knowledge flooding in upon us, is it not remarkable how little we know of ourselves, of other people, and of God? We could know a great deal more, but we don't. People become so preoccupied with things that they forget about life. No age in the history of the world needs to listen more closely or to hear more clearly something that our Lord said in his last prayer to his Father before his death on the cross. This is eternal life, he said, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Did you hear that? This is life, nothing less than eternal life, to know God. How many people have really discovered that secret, the secret of life? Have you discovered it? Have I? All of us need to ask ourselves that question. It's important. It's the difference between death and life. Jesus Christ said so, and he ought to know. A lot of people think they know about God, and some of them even think they know all about God. When it comes to knowing God, however, their lives are a blank page. Their lives are dull, and they're just as dull as the lives they lead. Life does not have to be dull. People have minds, eyes, and ears, but they don't use them. They look at things, but don't see them. They hear things, but they don't listen. They just go on their plodding way, convinced that nothing extraordinary has ever happened, and nothing extraordinary will ever happen. That's life, they say. Actually, it isn't life at all. It's a good deal more like death. Have you ever had the experience that when you really got to know something about a subject, everything in life became more interesting? Someone who has a hobby, for example, can't stop talking about it. That knowledge makes everything more exciting. whether it's about flowers, trees, rocks, stars, coins, stamps, sewing, baking, woodworking, or 100 other things. With a hobby, you know something that is enjoyable, and it makes everything else more interesting, more worthwhile, more exciting. While all knowledge ought to be stimulating and enriching, there is no knowledge so stimulating, so enriching, so interesting, so worthwhile, and so exciting as the knowledge of God. You may not have noticed this excitement in the lives of people who claim to know all about God. They look just as dull to you as other people, or maybe even duller. The reason for that is quite simple. They may know about God, but they do not know God. Jesus Christ was talking about knowing God, not just knowing about him. The devils know about him too, he said. People who know God are not devils, and they're not dull either. Knowing God makes life interesting, worthwhile, exciting. This is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, said Jesus Christ. Knowing God, contrary to what you may have heard, is not a matter of believing a bunch of facts about him. When it comes right down to it, it is not a matter of intellectual effort or achievement at all. It's not even the result of deep meditation and thus arriving at understanding of him. Knowing God is like knowing your wife and children or your father and mother. It's a personal relationship initiated by him with a knowledge that involves trust, commitment, promise, and faithfulness. It involves both heart and mind, not just mind, but also heart. And not just heart, but also mind. It's a matter of sharing and owning, not just being familiar with or looking on from a distance, but being with him right there. With all the knowledge we have discovered, people still find it difficult to accept the fact that God could be right here, that he has disclosed himself to the world. His prophets talked to people, but they would not believe. It always amazed the prophets to see that people would not believe them. These were not false prophets, but the prophets of the true God, the one and only God. Yet people would not believe them. Jeremiah said, for example, "Let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. In these things I delight, says the Lord." Yet people did not believe Jeremiah. They could not believe the prophet was speaking for God, and they could not believe that God would be that kind of God. They're perfectly willing to be told off by God because they know they deserve it, but they cannot believe that God can be a God of loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. "Who has believed our report?" exclaimed Isaiah, in amazement at the dullness and indifference of people who prided themselves on their knowledge. "God has disclosed himself to the whole world," said Isaiah. "But nobody believes him, nobody trusts him, and nobody even wants to know him." The prophecy and proclamation of God has never been very rewarding, except to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. They stand in the way of knowing God and of finding life interesting, worthwhile, and exciting. They become God's people, touched by him because he knows them, identifies with them, shares their goals, and enters their very existence in an intimate and personal way. They are the people of God, knowing him as Lord and Savior, laying hold of his goodness and enjoying his love and forgiveness, finding out what it is to live. This is eternal life. To know you, the only true God. At the hour of his departure, with death drawing near, Jesus prayed to his Father. He prayed for his disciples, whom he knew and loved to the end. Jesus prayed as one who knew his Father. He knew himself to be accepted by his Father, from whom he heard this wonderful word, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He trusted his Father, and he called him Father. Jesus was addressed by his Father, and he addressed his Father, sure in the knowledge of his Father. This is eternal life, to know you, the only true God. That's what Jesus Christ said. Jesus always said to his disciples, "It's no different for you. You can know him too. You can know him, the only true God, in the way in which he wants to be known. You can see him, you can hear him, and you can know him in me, his one and only Son. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. God is here. God is not a subject matter to be studied and learned. He is to be known as he wants to be known in his Son, Jesus Christ. You don't get to know God just by being exposed to some facts about him and his nature. You can believe that God exists, and even that he is eternal or all-powerful and all-loving, and still not know him. God cannot be reached or understood by the efforts of our intellect or even through the avenue of our feelings. We do have thoughts and feelings about him, but they come from us and not from him, often from doubt or despair rather than from faith. Knowing God is not a matter of thinking him out and then coming to understand him. He's not an object to be examined or discovered. God discloses himself to the world, and he must be known as he has disclosed himself in the one whom he has sent to be the Savior of the world. The Psalms are a wonderful record of thoughts and feelings, close and warm on the part of David and others toward God. All through the Psalms runs this thread. I know you, God, because you know me. The Psalms are not a picture of God sitting in the heavens with a master computer keeping tabs on the whereabouts of his creatures. God is as close as your own breath, intimately associated with your very existence. God knows you because he's created you, has given you spirit and life. The God of the Psalms is the God who sent Jesus Christ into the world. He knows you because he has created you and keeps you going. He knows you because he sent Jesus Christ, his Son, his only Son, to bear your humanness and with it your fears and hurts and needs. He knows you because Jesus Christ endured with you and suffered for you the tragedy of evil and the curse of death. God knows you because Jesus Christ, in the full knowledge of his Father, died for your sins and was raised again from the dead by the glory of his Father. God knows you as a parent knows his child, or as the people who love each other know the intimate thoughts and feelings that each has, one to the other and both together toward everyone and everything else. Put simply enough to understand, but profoundly enough not to be misunderstood, to know God is to know Jesus Christ. And to know Jesus Christ is to know God. Jesus Christ has to be known just as God has to be known. It is not enough to know about Jesus Christ. He has to be known by faith, just as God has to be known by faith. People with faith in Jesus Christ trust him, commit themselves to him, accept his promise of forgiveness, and give him their promise of faithfulness. They know him. And they follow him. That's faith. Wonderful. Exciting. Accepting from Christ, human as he was and is, the promise of life which is truly eternal. If that isn't exciting, I would like to know what is. The disciples of Jesus Christ always called him Lord. They spoke of him that way in admiration and in affection. They knew him. Knowing him, they acquired an altogether new life that came altogether from him. Knowing Christ, they were in direct touch with God. They had God himself in full view. Christ himself was the Word of God. The Word, one of them said, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. These people knew God in Jesus Christ. And so have a lot of other people since that time. Like them, my friend, you can know God in Jesus Christ. Things may seem difficult to understand, but they do not seem strange at all when you come to know Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important to know him, to trust him and to love him and to follow him. This is what the Bible always calls faith. Faith in Christ has eyes and ears for God. That's life. Life eternal. This is life eternal, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. God wants you to have his ever-living presence with his ever-loving care, his never-ending forgiveness, and his ever-wonderful life, interesting, worthwhile, and exciting, in his Son, Jesus Christ, who died for you right here and rose again from the dead for you right here. God knows you, and he wants you to know him as he can be known in Jesus Christ. You've heard of people who found Jesus Christ and found life. Actually, it was God who found them and gave them life in Jesus Christ. Most of these people never got their names into the newspapers. They all came out of the same stuff in which you find yourself and discovered life in Jesus Christ. In a way, they're all the fulfillment of a prayer St. Paul first made when he went out to preach the good news in Jesus Christ. I bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with the might of his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. My friend, you've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, just as much as I have. I've come to you as a friend in Christ, not in my own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Christ, inviting you by the power of God's Holy Spirit to receive life with faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you to follow me. Follow him. Even though he created you, God does not violate your personality. He does not badger, control, manipulate, or tease you. He does not treat you as an object, a pawn, a thing. He made you in his image, and he treats you as a person. Now he invites you back from your rebellion to himself. He invites you to know him as he is, and knowing him, to have life. He comforts, encourages, blesses, and saves you with the gift of faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. It's his gift from beginning to end to know him and his love. It's to live every day before him in the glorious assurance of eternal life, which is his and his alone to give. Everybody has faith of some sort or other. Some people believe that God's not very important and they can safely disregard him. Others believe that he is important, but not for them. Then there are those who have experienced bitterness, often coming through great tribulation, and now they've come to know God as he is in Jesus Christ. They know he can turn the worst evil into the greatest good with his love, his forgiveness, his life. Knowledge is a dead end unless you know God. There's one way to know him, in Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. That's why the people of God, people who really know him, proclaim to you the good word of God which they themselves have received in the Holy Scriptures. The word of God testifies to Jesus Christ. People have always been enriched, enlivened, and renewed in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, coming to know God through him. God touches your life today, my friend, in his good word. It's his word, not mine. I pray for you that your life may be touched by the word of God. This is eternal life. To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Amen.